This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, shoot me an email at hemppresent@gmail.com. I greatly enjoy hearing from you, the listener. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Pato Banton. Pato is a reggae singer and toaster from Birmingham, England. In 1994, he achieved number one on the UK singles chart with a cover of The Equals' Baby Come Back, featuring Robin and Ali Campbell of UB40. Pato has extensive discographies spanning three decades, which we'll get to in a minute. I'm honored to have him with me today in the virtual Hemp Present studio. Welcome, Pato, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Very, very, very happy to be here with you guys. Thank you for the invite.
No problem. It's great to talk to you again. Pato, you first came to public attention in the early 1980s when you worked with The Beat. You recorded Pato and Roger, A Go Talk with Ranking Roger, included on the 1982 album Special Beat Service. As I mentioned earlier, you were one of the guest artists. You appeared on the UB40 album Bugger Rhythm, yep, 1985. And you did your album with the Mad Professor. Mad Professor captures Pato Banton, which was followed in 1987 by a great song, Never Give In, one of my favorites of yours. You collaborated with Paul Schaefer. And then you had a follow-up with Pato and Roger Come Again. You've had such an illustrious career, and you're still going strong. I want to get into what you're doing today. But first, how did you become involved in the reggae scene? How did Pato Banton get his start?
Well, basically, I moved to Birmingham. I was born in London, and I moved to Birmingham at the age of 8. And my mom's new partner was a Jamaican DJ. And our house became the community night spot for the community, for everybody. It wasn't just a black community, it was for everybody. Indian, white, Chinese, black, everybody used to come to our house for music in the nighttime. And I started helping my dad when I was 8 years old. And eventually, this was before reggae music even existed. It was still in the evolutionary process. And then once reggae music came to the surface and I heard it when I was in my early teens, I was just like, wow, I am loving this style of music. I had listened to blue beat, rock steady, ska, you know, all of the old time styles. But when reggae music came, it had an awesome laid back groove. It had a beautiful message of peace and love and one heart. It taught me about my African ancestry. It taught me about my spiritual ancestry. So I fell in love with the music at a very young age and started to just at first just imitate the artists that I really admired. And then eventually I started creating my own style while British MCs were blowing up in the UK. I was right on in that era. And never look back. You know, at first it was just a hobby, and it still is a hobby, but I'm just getting paid for it.
Well, you're pretty good at this hobby, man. So what was the reggae scene in England like at that time? Were there reggae clubs where touring reggae artists could perform at?
Yes, it took a while, but after the bands like UB40 and the English Beat really just took over the scene, everything opened up, because before that time we were very segregated in England. It was a very, very racist, segregated country. Existence for the black community was very, very tough. But once the black and white musicians got together, like the Specials, you know, so many great bands in England that were mixed race bands, that it just blew the doors open. You know, everybody realized, hold on, we need to stop this now. You know, let's come together in peace and love. And the majority of the country embraced the idea of coexisting. A few people held on to their supremacist ideals, but the majority of the country embraced the idea. And so for the first time, we were allowed to get nightclubs and bars and venue halls so that we could play music. And then all the pubs across the UK started opening up for the music too. So it was just a thriving community in the early 80s.
Speaking of peace and love, it's obvious from your music and your social media posts that you're a man of great faith. Can you talk about your religious beliefs for a moment and how they fuel your music?
Well, with reggae music, you know, as you know, with Bob Marley and all of the great reggae legends, they all sang about the Most High. They sang about Jah. Some of them sang about Rastafari. Some of them sang about God. You know, some of the gospel reggae artists sing about Jesus. For me personally, I don't belong to a religion. You know, I've studied the world's religions for 20 years. And after studying them, I came to the conclusion, after finding a book called the Urantia Book, that, you know, I didn't need to belong to a religion. I just needed a personal relationship with God. And before I found this information, I was feeling like I was an outcast, like I was a religious outcast. But Jesus was also a religious outcast, you know? So when I found my faith, which has no name, I would just call it being spiritual or spirituality, just having a personal, individual, unique relationship with God. Once I embraced that concept that God was my heavenly Father, I started looking around and realizing that, hold on, if God is my heavenly Father, that means that every person on this planet is my brother and sister, because they're all God's children. So that's why it's so easy for me to love everybody, because now I realize that my family is universal. And they say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. So I may not be friends with a lot of the people in my spiritual family, because some of us haven't evolved to the state yet of knowing how to coexist together peacefully. But it still doesn't mean that we're not family, even if we don't agree, even though we have different behaviors and lifestyles and philosophies, we're still family. So that is my belief. And I believe that now that I've found my spiritual freedom, my liberty, I believe that I have a responsibility to share that with people who are willing to listen and who are seeking for their spiritual liberty, because a lot of people are in religious bondage. You know, they're slaves to fear. You know, they're afraid of hell. They're afraid of the wrath of God. You know, there's so many things that institutional religions try to build into your fear mechanism so that they keep you trapped. Yeah. You know, I feel as though I'm a liberator, you know, a freedom fighter, spiritual freedom fighter, to liberate people, to make them realize that you don't need a middleman to talk to God. You can just close your eyes and you can talk to your Heavenly Father who loves you no matter what you've done in the past. There's nothing you could have done that God is not willing to forgive and forget. You know, I've got children of my own, and my kids don't have to be anything for me to love them. They don't have to do anything for me to love them. They're my children. I love them. And even when they do stuff that I don't agree with or that upsets me, I still love them. I'm just waiting for them to mature to the level where they can behave in a more adult way and a more appreciative way of life. And if I can love my children with that kind of unconditional love, and I'm just a human being, just above the level of animals, how much more does a spiritual, divine, infinite, eternal being like God, who created love, how much more does he love his children? You know, so that's my belief. That's my religion. And that's why I keep doing music, because I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to love as many people as I can, hug as many people as I can, share my music with as many people as I can, and remind as many people as I can that you are all God's children and we are all one family, regardless of your religion, politics, sex, whatever it is, we're one family.
You have an extensive discography that I mentioned, and you've released nearly 36 albums, so many great songs like Never Give In and Don't Sniff Coke, Go Pato. But you put out what I consider the best song ever at detailing the myriad benefits that cannabis offers humanity. And that's your song called Legalize It.
Not send the song... a letter to the residents of the president.
yes. Send a message to the president. it's legalized, not the song by the title of Peter Tosh. I just had Peter's youngest daughter Niambe Tosh on just a few weeks ago. But wow. this song, and I want to play the song real quick, and then we can briefly talk about it. Okay.
All right.
Listen, a letter to the residence of the president with a stamp on the front saying very urgent. The message inside went something like legalize it. Sensimila is a herb that grows naturally, just like any other plant or tree. Natural as the birds, natural as the bees, and just like them, sensia to be free, to be grown anywhere that we please, in the city, in the town, and in the country, in the hills and in sense it should be there for everyone to see. Me send a letter to the residence of the president with a stamp on the front saying very urgent. The message inside went something like legalize it. Sense me a lot to call.
All right, man, what a great tune. I mean, you just nailed it, and it's basically it's like a college class about cannabis. What inspired you to write Legalize It, and you could describe your history and relationship with ganja? And we got a minute till the next break, and then we can pick it up.
All right, well, my relationship with ganja was being a part of my dad's late night parties. Ganja was the thing that was acceptable. You know, they didn't entertain anything else except for ganja in our parties. So I grew up around it. You know, I probably hit my first joint when I was about 9, you know, and traveling the world playing reggae music and singing, you know, Don't Sniff Coke and mentioning ganja in my songs, I got a lot of fight, you know, from the system, from some promoters, from certain media people. And I said, you know something, I'm tired of this fight from these uneducated people. I need to make a song that educates people about this beautiful, natural, healing herb. And so I decided to go and sit down and write Legalize It, Letter to the President.
Awesome. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm talking to Pato Banton. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our second segment, so don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we are back with Pato Banton. Pato, we just played your incredible song, Legalize It. You and I met first when you performed at the Seattle Hemp Fest, which I'm the director of, in 2007. And I found you just, man, so humble, so down to earth, so easy to work with. I'm just curious, have you played many other cannabis-related festivals?
I have played quite a few, actually. And a lot of the festival promoters and directors have always said that they really love my song, Legalize It. because of the educational value of the song. It's not just about puff, puff, pass, or I get high, or just smoke weed. You know, it's making a stand for the qualities of marijuana.
Yeah, well, you know, at Seattle Hemp Fest, we're in our 30th year, and we've never had a serious injury, accident, or even or fight or arrest. And I think that's really because it's cannabis. It's not alcohol mm-hmm. there, you
that's
know.
That's right.
That's the difference, you know. It's a peace and love herb, man. Right. You know, healing of the nations, right?
That's right. And, you know, even last night, some friends called me at 3:30 in the morning, waking me and my wife up, saying we're at a bar and we just had a big fight at the bar and, you know, all kinds of drama. And we said, you know something, you guys need to stop drinking, go smoke some herb and chill out.
Yeah, know? Man, that's the prescription, right?
Yeah. You know, if you can't do alcohol in moderation, leave it alone and just enjoy herbs, you know, because the more you smoke is the more chill you'll be, rather than getting aggressive and violent, you know?
Yeah, man. I think that I saw that you're about to embark upon a pretty extensive tour. Is that right?
Yes. June and July look like they're very, very going to be very busy, especially July. We are doing a free concert tour that we've decided to give a gift back to the people after this COVID pandemic, you know, and quarantine. You know, we're inviting people to come back out. We're doing a lot of shows, mostly on the beaches, on the coastline, outdoor shows, free to the public, so that they can, and early enough for them to come out as a family and enjoy and have space outside with fresh air to enjoy some positive reggae music. So we already have 20 cities lined up in July, going from San Diego all the way up the West Coast, all the way up to Port Angeles, Washington, and then back down. So that's my baby right now that I'm working on. And the feedback has been really amazing. People have been telling me how much they appreciate this. You know, promoters are calling me saying, wow, this is a great idea. We want to contribute. We want to be involved. So yeah, it's been a good thing.
Well, you know, we're hopefully coming out of this pandemic soon. Things are already making much progress here in the United States anyway. And the pandemic's just been so hard on everybody. I'm sure it's been probably, you know, very, very difficult on your career and your ability to perform. But you know, we like the power of music to heal and to bring us together and to rejoice, you know, is just so important. I think it's just so needed right now. Do you agree?
I agree. It's very, very important. You know, and some people underestimate the power of music. You know, music can touch the heart, can touch the soul, can make people feel healthier and happier. You know, so, you know, not everybody during this pandemic right now can afford big paying tickets with limited audience capacity. So, you know, by going and doing a free tour, you know, it's not very popular for certain promoters. You know, they feel as though I'm devaluing myself and, you know, by doing these free concerts in their market. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a little sacrifice doesn't hurt. So I'm very happy that I'm in a position to be able to do this. And I know that once I get out there and start seeing the people, hugging the people, having prayer circles again with the people and playing the music for them, it's just going to be a good time, you know, and I know it's going to inspire people to just, you know, be a bit happier and be a bit more positive about the future. That's it's called a peace and love tour, you know, and it's about good news and positive vibes.
How about recordings? Are you working on anything, any new projects right now? Is there anything that we can look forward to in the future from Pato Banton?
Yes, I'm working on what may probably be my last album. It's called Brother Friend, and or Call Me Your Brother Friend. And it's my alter ego name is Brother Friend. And it's important for me to be a brother to my family, but you know, some brothers are not friends. So I want to be a brother and a friend to the people who I come in contact with and be of benefit to their life. So it's going to be a very inspirational album. It's going to talk about some of the issues that's going on in the world right now, on a very deep level, but also on a constructive level, talk about some of the solutions to the problems that we're going through on this planet. During the pandemic, for the last year, I've actually been in the studio producing my wife's album, and we ended up doing 3 albums for her.
Wow.
So she just launched the first one. We've got 2 more to launch. And while we're launching them, I've already got about 14 songs planned. I haven't fully recorded them. Some of them are partially recorded. Some of them are partially written. But once I get her albums out the way, I'm going to take a break and just go in the studio and really write my masterpiece, you know, and create something that is musically beautiful and bring that out for the people.
Well, I know our listeners will want to keep their eyes out for your wife's material. What's your wife's name?
Her name is Antoinette Rootsdatter, and she's a brilliant keyboard player. She's played with many of the great reggae legends, you know, and she's my keyboard player. And I have encouraged her, you know, that it's time to come out of your shell and let your light shine. You know, so she was very reluctant at first, and I had to really convince her, but now she's flying. She's on a roll. There's no stopping her now.
Right on. Well,
she's not only playing keyboards now, she's singing and she's rapping and emceeing. And the other day she was on Clubhouse playing her new album, and Marcia Griffiths, one of the I3s from Bob Marley's band, Marcia Griffiths joined the Clubhouse and was commenting and encouraging her, saying, "Wow, your voice is amazing. Your singing is amazing. Keep it up, girl." And my wife is a big fan of Marcia Griffiths, so she was just in heaven.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah, she's happy. She's happy.
It's
and you know what they say? Happy wife,
happy husband.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, did I just hear you say your last album?
Yeah.
What's up with that, man?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I feel as though I don't have long left on this planet, you know? So I treat everything as though it's the last, you know, which means I treat it with extra special care and attention, thinking that, knowing that what I'm doing is I'm leaving for generations to come. So, you know, if I outlive the album, you know, if I live for a few years after the album, then my next one will be the last one. But for right now, I'm treating this one as though it's my last precious baby, and I'm nurturing it and taking my time to make it right.
You just mentioned generations to come, and there's a whole new generation of music out there these days. I'm just curious, what's on your playlist, man? Is there anything right now that's current that excites you, or what do you usually listen to on your own time?
Well, you know, to be very, very honest with you, I hardly ever listen to music because I'm so embedded in music.
Yeah, I understand.
I did create a 7-CD box set called The Words of Christ, where I am narrating the words that Jesus said over some beautiful laid back piano and string music. And that's where I get my source of inspiration and relaxation most of the time. I also did a second 3-CD box set called The Words of Rastafari, where Antoinette redid some of the Bob Marley classics, instrumental versions. And I narrated the words of Emperor Haile Selassie over those 3 CDs. And Tuff Gong Records, Bob Marley's record label, actually released that album for me. And that is also something I sit down and listen to when I want to hear some words of inspiration. My wife listens to everything. Everything from Phil Collins to David Bowie to Morgan Heritage to Buju Banton. You know, she listens to everything. So I get the full spectrum of music when I'm with my wife, because she listens to music all the time. But in my private space, I just chill out and listen to some meditative stuff. you know. But
nice.
You know, there's a lot of new artists that, you know, sound great. So, you know, I appreciate the new talent and I encourage them, you know, to keep shining. You are the next generation. Keep shining, keep playing.
Right on. It's time to take another quick break. We're going to roach this segment, but we're going to come right back for our final segment with some really important info. So don't go anywhere.
All right.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
We're back to Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We are back with international reggae sensation Pato Banton. Pato, you just mentioned that you're playing some free concerts, man. And, you know, that's just so powerful. You're just always so positive. You know, I follow you on social media and I think it's just so refreshing that you're an artist that actually connects with people. You know, you actually participate on your social media platform on certainly on Facebook, and you interact with your fans and stuff, which I think is so cool. And now you're offering these free concerts, which in this time right now, everybody's been so hurting, so hit economically, so devastated that's just so profound. That's just so powerful that you are just really walking your talk, man. And you're giving back and you're giving this healing music to people free of charge, man. I mean, I'm just so impressed.
Thank you, brother. You know, Facebook is my home. You know, I really am not involved in any other social media platform. People have created stuff out there with my name on it, but you won't find me there. I'm on Facebook and I have 1, 2, 3 pages. I have my profile page. I have my fan page. And I have my spiritual family page, you know, and I have 3 F's in my life. I call it fans, friends and family. So those are my 3 sites on Facebook. And I do answer all of my messages. Any messages that people send me, I answer them. I have given my phone number to over 100,000 of my fans now. And they can call me anytime they need right here on my cell phone. You know, I don't hide from my fans or my family. They can call me anytime. If they're thinking about suicide, if they're going through a rough time, if they want to get married, if they want to have a private party and invite me, you know, I speak to my fans all day, every day, as well as interacting with them on my social media page. And I keep telling them, you know, I may be Pato Banton, but that doesn't mean nothing to me. You know, I am a human being just like you. I am your brother, friend, and I want to be a part of your life. And, you know, I want you to be a part of my life. So that's the relationship I have with the people, you know, who love my music.
That's really beautiful. I mean, your humanity really comes out in your music and really everything about you. And that's just so powerful. I'm the same way. I've got a Twitter account and I've got 9,000 LinkedIn connections and stuff, but mm-hmm. I just spend most of my time on Facebook. And you know, I'm always at the limit, you know, I'm at the actual limit. I got all these friend requests coming in. I can't even grant them. I feel frustrated. You know? I feel bad. Like people think I'm dissing them or something, man.
Yeah, but they can follow you, you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that's what they do. We still got, about probably 30 seconds here. Did you ever consider sending a message to the president? Did you consider sending legalize it to the president?
Actually, I did. to Barack Obama.
Nice. You know? Nice.
And I think I'm going to send another one to Biden, you know.
Yeah, man.
It is, you know, it's recreational in California now and quite a few other states. But it needs to be, you know, it needs to be decriminalized across the country. No one should have to worry about having a joint, you know?
Yeah, man. I think that's a great place to leave it, Pato. Thank you so much for taking time out, man. I'm such a fan and I just enjoy everything about you so much, man. Thanks for being so real.
Thank you so much, Vivian. Much love.
All right. Much love to you, bro. And that concludes this installment of Hammers In on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice because resistance is fertile. Stay strong, my friends, and get involved in the struggle to end federal cannabis prohibition. Now it's time to turn up the music, maestro, because I am out.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.